This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We are absolutely live, and we always greatly appreciate the handoff from the great professionals, the gentlemen, I use that word loosely, John Lopez, Reginald Latula, and my man Figgy Fig. We appreciate you. I'm a loophole, as I said. I'm listening. I'm dialed in, baby, all the time. I had a couple of questions today, but we didn't get to it. More like, I don't know if they were questions as much as like, what in the hell y'all talking about type of deals. But we didn't get to it.
I had those same questions, by the way.
Hey, check it out, man. If you're watching on Twitch, YouTube, we greatly appreciate it. Stay plugged in. The chat line is open. We can see you. We can hear you. We want to interact with you. Also, the text line, 713-572-4610. The Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line is rocking and rolling. It's wide open as well. And if you're on that AM, FM dial, we appreciate you. The Audacy app, AUDACY. Download it and take us everywhere you go every single day. We got a big time contest going on right now. And here's the deal. Download the app, log in, and listen to Sports Radio 610 for an hour every single day. Start right now at 2 o'clock, baby, if you're not already locked in. We got a lot going on. It's a football Friday, Tyler. Is that what it is? Is it a football Friday?
How about a freaky football Friday?
Well, I mean, here's the deal. There is no football.
Damn
so
it.
We're going to take the way, and it's Valentine's Day, so we're just going to go with a freaky Friday. I hope out there, now you freaky ones, y'all get freaky all the damn time, but I hope y'all the ones that aren't as freaky, I hope your Valentine's Day's freakier than hell. I hope you get turned out this evening.
That'd be the best way to spend it.
Come on now. I tell you what, the Rockets, boys. The Rockets. First of all, the NBA All-Star break is here. We're going to get to this NBA All-Star game, by the way, NBA All-Star weekend. I feel like I should be more of the target crowd, the target market, the target audience for the NBA, and they ain't doing it for me. We're going to get to the NBA All-Star game, but right now we're going to get to the Rockets. The Rockets drop game two of a back-to-back, a home back-to-back here after beating the Suns yesterday, two nights ago. Last night, they lose to the Golden State Warriors 105-98 in a game that, I'll be honest with you, Luke, I'm sorry, Ron Ugly is out, Luke Morrow is in, T. Mill is behind the glass on the ones and twos. In a game where there was some good, like you're watching the Rockets, and we're still in that phase with the Rockets where when you're watching it, you're like, you can find the silver lining in poor performances, right? Some organizations, you're there. Like, we've been there with the Texans for the last couple of years. I think they're getting out of that role. The Astros are damn sure not in that era. But right now with the Rockets, it's one of those where, hey, it's regular season. We really don't know who this team is. I don't think they were the 2 or 3 seed in the West was accurate. I don't know that they're as bad as losing 6 of 7, and now what have they lost? What is it, 7 of 9?
Yep.
Is that right? They lost 7 of their last 9? Like, I don't know that they're that bad of a team. They fall somewhere in the middle, but the Rockets, Luke, to me, are a team that we watch, and I can sit there and being a pretty critical fan, I can sit there and go, okay, well, let me find the silver lining in this thing. And the truth of the matter is, last night, They did this against Phoenix as well, but it was on steroids last night. They dug a huge hole in which it didn't look like they were going to have any chance to climb out of. They were down 24 points early in the third quarter. And the Rocket Reserves, which, by the way, these guys may make a name for themselves, the Rocket Reserves were able to literally pull this team completely out of the hole that the starters ultimately dug and get back. They may have even taken the lead at some point in the fourth quarter, if I remember correctly. But the Reserves dug them out of the hole so impressively that Ime Udoka said, "Hey, Jalen Green, you sit your ass over here with me. Hey, Shingun, you stay your ass over here with me as well. Oh, hey, Amen Thompson, you too, sir, you can sit over here with me." And he literally let the Reserves all but finish the game, and they didn't have enough gas in the tank because once Golden State threw their big three out there, their best three players said, "It's time," and they stretched it back out a little bit, ultimately ended up winning the game. So while the starting crew left a lot to be desired with the Rockets, all the names that you would recognize that a casual fan like me recognizes, right, they could have just took the damn night off. But them Reserves went in there and did. Big shout out to Jock Lindell, by the way. I don't know how long this is going to last, but he's bringing some juice to the floor. There ain't no doubt about that. So there's a silver lining there, but all in all, it wasn't a real good night for the Rockets, Luke.
No, it wasn't. That had the feeling, at least from the starters. You know, in the playoffs in the NBA, there's always that expression, 1-2-3 Cancun. It almost felt like last night those guys were already looking forward to the much-needed now 8-day break for this Rockets team with the way they're playing. But I think in the course of a long NBA season, you have 82 games. I think sometimes it could be more valuable to maybe teach a lesson than it is to actually get a win, especially in the NBA where it's really just about the postseason. And I think that's what Udoka chose to do last night, where you got it down to a 2-point game in the fourth quarter. You had the basketball. You had a chance to tie. They went through a 2-of-15 stretch to allow the Warriors to pull that game away. And he chose to stick with his reserves. Because not only do they earn that opportunity, but I think also it helps send that lesson to your starters as well. He spoke about it after the game about maybe a lack of energy lately for this team. And so I think that's one of those where it sucks because it's against the Warriors. You want to beat that team. But sometimes you rather just take a chance in trying to win a game while also teaching your guys a lesson, even if it's not giving you the best chance to win that game. But I'll say this, zooming out with the big picture, now that we reach the All-Star break, you were talking about this off the very top of these Rockets. Yeah, they've lost 7 of the last 9, but you know, Dennis Green always used to say how you feel about your record depends on when the wins came, when the losses came. Right now, I'm sure everyone's down on the Rockets because of the stretch, but if you signed up for a 34-21 record at the All-Star break to start the season, you're the 4 seed, you know, you're still within striking distance of the top teams in the West, most of them. I think you sign up for that. So here's a chance now to get healthy, get some juice back in this team, and some energy with this week off, regroup, try to come out in the second half. Last night was bad. The last 2 weeks have been bad. But I think big picture, keeping the glass half full, I think you still sign up for where the Rockets are in general.
Absolutely, you sign up for where the Rockets are right now. And look, here's the other thing with this is it's a young team. You know, our texters and callers, our listeners, all the time are on me and Ron about, "Hey, you two fools, they don't need to make a trade. Don't break up this core. Don't break up these youngsters." Well, and cool, I can subscribe to that, especially now that the trade deadline's gone. I can subscribe to that. But now you got to sit back and go, okay, we're going to be inconsistent. Right? Our identity's not always going to be at the forefront. We're not always going to have the right plan and the right execution down the stretch the way that a Steph Curry-led basketball team is going to have a plan and execute that plan. So there's going to be growing pains with these guys, and the flashes are absolutely beautiful, man. The thing that I like about the Rockets right now, Luke, is that there's every time you turn on a Rockets game. Now, when they were two in the West and three in the West, It was every night you turn on a Rockets game, you could see these things. But like, to me, even last night in the struggles, and even though it was a reserves, the night before they got against the Phoenix Suns, they got into a double digit deficit, and they climbed back from that. And whether Jalen Green shooting the ball well or Shingun's doing work in the paint, regardless, the defensive end of the floor, the hustle, the determination, the way in which those guys are busting their ass on the defensive end of the floor, and it's allowing, that's how they've dug out of a hole two nights in a row against two basketball teams and gave themselves a chance to win, is they did it on the defensive end of the floor. They did it by just hounding the hell out of some really, 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 really good basketball players. And so the fact that it's all driven defensively, it's all driven with hustle, it's all driven with grit, it's all that is a huge plus for me as we watch the team moving forward. That's going to pay off big time down a stretch.
Yeah, it is, but it's also part of it, if I could manipulate that a little bit, is also part of the concern for me with the Rockets, where I've always felt, and on these airwaves, I've compared the Rockets this year to like the Timberwolves and the Thunder of the last couple years, where you have these really young teams that play really hard throughout the regular season, where you have these other teams that sit their stars
coast. Yeah.
So you can get a lot of wins in the NBA regular season just simply based off of effort. And I think the Rockets, to their credit, they were doing a lot of that. But starting with the new year, when we flipped the calendar to 2025, they were playing the second toughest schedule the rest of the way. And look, they've had a lot of injuries. Things haven't gone their way lately. But I also don't think it's a coincidence that as the schedule got tougher, well, you know, the record hasn't been as good, because you can't always just beat better teams simply off of that effort. And that's my concern come playoff time. If we were really to look down the road here with this Rockets team, is that you can't just out-hustle the best teams in the West or when they have the stars. And that's what we know Houston's missing. The Rockets, they're missing that go-to guy. You can't just out-hustle LeBron and Luka in a seven-game series. So it is great to see. You need that effort. As a coach, if a guy makes a mistake, it's okay if he's trying hard. But what you can't forgive is guys just not trying hard at all. So you can take the effort when mistakes come with it. But big picture, that's still my concern for this team, is that you just can't solely rely on that, especially come playoff time.
Absolute legit concern, no doubt about it. I mean, that's we've talked about it a million times on this show. Is as the games become more important, as the season goes along, and opponents get film on your players and on your scheme, and then as the season goes along and the games mean more, all of a sudden defense turns up, defense ratchets up, defense becomes a thing with better team, and then you get in the playoffs and you're getting everybody's best effort on both ends of the floor. How does this team handle those types of scenarios? Right, we know that they don't have the either they don't have the guy or guys that they want to put the ball in the hands of late in games. Not want to. Everybody has somebody they want to. But I'm talking about somebody that they can, no doubt about it, a star that they can go get buckets. They don't have that guy, but they also don't have much of like a consistent plan in those moments. Those are all the growing pains that they got. And that guy may be on the team. He just hasn't emerged right now. I think last night, Luke, was a very good indication or depiction of what you're talking about. Like, to me, last night, they got back in the game and played 3.5 quarters with grit, good defense, hustle, turning them over. They came back. It can get you in the game. But the minute that Draymond Green, Jimmy Butler, and Steph Curry got on the floor together in the fourth quarter, it was a wrap. It was a wrap. Mm-hmm. I mean, they pushed it out to an 11-point lead again. Now the Rockets were able to cut that. They scored five quick buckets or five quick points and got it back to within six. But it was literally, I always tell people the moment, one of my favorite basketball moments. Again, a casual fan. I'm at a Memphis Lakers game, Memphis LA game in Memphis, mm-hmm. Luke. And I'm watching this game and I'm like, it's kind of ho hum. I'm like, whatever. I'm going to see Kobe. You know, Kobe doesn't seem to be real into it. He's playing some, but it's not a big deal. And then all of a sudden, the game was tight. And with about 5 minutes left in the game, Kobe got up. And this was back when you had them tearaway pants, right? I think I saw LeBron tear his off. Did they still got him? Hey, Kobe tore them britches off and got out there on that floor and said, hey, give me the rock and get the hell out of the way. Let's get on this plane, boys. And it was a wrap, right? That's what the Rockets are missing. And to me, when I watched last night, it wasn't just like a wow performance, but it was a team that said, all right, let's put our horses out there, let's end this silliness, and let's get on a plane and go home. And that's ultimately what the Rockets are missing, is who is that guy? What's the plan? Who is that group? What does it look like? And we'll see. But last night, there was the silver lining was definitely the Rockets bench. Again, I did want to shout out Jock Landale. He looked really good once again. That's two games in a row where he brought a real spark. The other one, Nate Williams, man. Nate Williams went out there and was a big part of offensively and defensively them being able to dig themselves out of a 24-point hole in the third quarter. So those two guys were all the reserves were really good, but those two guys in particular stood out.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, that's going to help down the road too for these guys to get those minutes and play well as well. But I think the break's coming at a good time for the Rockets. I know Pal says on YouTube that they've played well against the good teams. They've played down to their competition and play bad against the bad teams. But I think that's part of that stretch of when you play the Cavs back-to-back and then you play the Celtics, that eventually it's going to catch up to you, even if it's when you're playing whoever, the Raptors or, you know, a lesser team. But yeah, I think this is just a good time for the Rockets to have that time off and regroup. Not to change subjects, but real, I hated that they lost to the Warriors last night, and I hated that Steve Kerr was complaining about having to play a back-to-back in Dallas and then Houston.
What a whiny bitch.
Complaining about a one-hour flight on a private jet to come play a basketball game last night. That's exactly what's wrong with the NBA, where, you know, the NHL plays back-to-backs. You don't hear all the complaining there in a much more physical sport. But God forbid you have to hop on an hour flight on a private jet after playing basketball to go play another basketball game and getting paid millions.
45-minute flight. And a private jet, their jet probably makes it to 30.
Right.
Poor little Steve.
Yeah. And Steve Kerr complaining about, oh, how dare the NBA schedule these games for us. I wanted to beat him so bad last night.
God,
I wish
bless
the Rockets
his heart.
That off.
We should go back and look at some of that. Like, I just, Luke, I'm sorry, man. I mean, it blows my mind, and I'm just being dick, because of the guys. I don't know. I lean into some of the guys that I was able to play with and be in the locker room with, and a lot of it was briefly, but I knew those guys well. Like, it blows my mind how much conversation we in the media have about, like, short weeks in football. And look, obviously the football player's going to get on there and go, yeah, man, boy, that short week really kicked my ass. No, they're not going to get on there and go, nah, man, it ain't no big deal. No, they're going to push to do away with Thursdays. They're going to push to not have extra games in the season. They're going to push to have shorter, less physical training camps. I mean, that's what players are going to do. That's what their representation is going to do. Pay me more, expect me to do less. That's just the way of the world, and athletes are the world's worst at that, right? So I admittedly, I'm one of those guys, like, give me a coach, like right now in football, and I hate to get on a soapbox here, right now in football, if you're a coach that has the ability, because everybody doesn't have the ability, if you have the ability to get your guys in camp and make them buy in to busting ass every day, you're going to have an advantage in the league today. You're going to have a monster advantage in the league today. That's why I'm so adamant about Laremy Tunsil having his ass in camp. Mm-hmm. Don't find some thumb injury or knee injury or some reason why you can't be. Like, it's a huge advantage when you do those things. And so I'm just being transparent. I'm of that mindset. It blows my mind in basketball. Load management in basketball. And a coach even shaping his mouth to bitch about having to play a back-to-back basketball game that is literally a 30-minute flight away. You are riding the finest buses on the planet. You're flying in the finest jets on the planet. You are catered to 24/7 with the finest meals, drinks, nutrition that you could possibly want. And like I find it hard to take Steve Kerr even remotely serious. Anything he says, yeah. I'm like, what are we talking about here? I don't want to overdo the comments he made, but damn, I mean, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, no, I mean, we'll talk more about the NBA, you know, in this weekend and what it's supposed to represent throughout the afternoon and the shape that the NBA is. And I say this as a sports fan whose first love was the NBA. And so I hate to see what it's become in the last 10, 15 years with load management. But yeah, it's a slap in the face for Kerr to make those comments. And that's why I really, last night especially, I mean, I know the Warriors are like public enemy number one, persona non grata around here. But more than ever, I wanted to beat him last night because of those complaints. You'd rather do it that way than have to fly back out from California back to Texas to play the Rockets another time.
Right?
You'd rather
it.
Take the 30-minute trip than the half cross-country flight later in the year.
Just coach and play basketball, baby. Let's grind. It's a beautiful thing, man. Let's not bitch and moan about having to take a 30-minute flight and play back-to-back. Who cares? All right, y'all, look here. Astros manager Joe Espada, he spoke right there in West Palm Beach, man. He spoke yesterday. He mentioned something that'll be changing with the Astros bats this season. I'm gonna let Joe tell you what that is, and we're gonna try to figure out who in the hell he's talking about and who he is talking to on this current Astros, in this current Astros lineup. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. It is a Freaky Friday, Valentine's Friday. Ron, the show, Hughley is out. My man Luke Morrow is in. And if I don't suck all the oxygen out of the room, you're going to like what Luke has to say. My man's pretty damn good at this thing. I just step all over the toes, if you know what I mean. By the way, I do want to announce, it looks like Doge. It looks like Doge just... Looks like they just found another $1.9 billion. So those out there counting, they found some more of our tax money laying around out there. If anybody was is interested in those kind of updates,
that's a lot of money, man.
I mean, $1.9 billion, man. Like, good gosh, it is wild, man. It is wild. Stay tuned, man. Tax dollars at work, man.
That's a solid update.
Hey, the Astros, another update. The Astros are in West Palm Beach. They are in West Palm Beach, and that means pitchers and catchers have reported. That means spring training has cranked up. And we heard yesterday from Dana Brown. Dana Brown's always good audio. I don't know what to make of what he says half the time, but it's always good audio. And I think I find it pretty interesting that a lot of the time you can listen to his audio and then Joe Espada's audio right behind it, and it don't add up. It's like those two don't have morning meetings. Those two don't meet in the morning and discuss what the hell the media is going to ask about, even when it's obvious. Hey, Altuve in left field? Hey, what's McCullers looking like? Hey, man. Who's going to be your third baseman? Sometimes those guys are on total different pages. But nonetheless, it's entertaining, and we will always bring it to you, no doubt about it. Joe Espada, there's a lot going on right now. There's a lot. We got an update on Lance McCullers. And I think throughout the entire Espada audio, to me, there was one thing that really, 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 really stood out. So before we get to McCullers, I want to make sure that we hit this offensive approach. Look, when it's all said and done, Joe Espada – he mentioned something about the Astros changing the Astros bats this season. Something about what they're doing offensively is going to change. Here's Joe Espada talking about the Astros bats.
It's going to be a more complete in areas that I think last year we kind of got away from our approach. I think we have talked to our players. I think they're aware of that. And we're going to make sure that we emphasize what makes us so elite is when we're able to see a ton of pitches and we can make our opponents work a little bit more.
I like the thought. I like the thought from 30,000 foot view. Here's my initial response is you just lost a guy that's arguably the best in all of Major League Baseball at doing that in Alex Bregman. So taking that step as you lose in Alex Bregman may be more difficult than one would think. Totally irrelevant. He's out the door. He's not an Astro, so we can move on. Luke, I ask you. I think I'm picking up what he's putting down. Like, they're going to be more disciplined at the plate, right? They're going to have better eyes. They're going to see more pitches. They're going to make the opponent's pitchers work. Maybe they lost sight of that late in the season last year. The one player that I immediately think of is Jose Altuve. And damn it, Tyler, I know you've been hard on Jose Altuve about his base running. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, man, the one thing about Jose Altuve that bothers me the most, and this is talking about a Hall of Famer, like, I can't stand coming out of your shoes, and every damn pitch is thrown up there. I know he's great.
That does grind your gears pretty good.
It don't matter what the situation is, man. If it was legal, they could take and push all eight guys in the field. They can push them suckers left to second base, and he would try to pull an outside pitch. I mean, there ain't no doubt about it. So I immediately think about him. But I know, Luke, and I'm going to assume you're on the same page, I know the approach to this season offensively can't be we're going to try to change Altuve. It's got to be more to it than that, right?
Yeah, I would think so. I think it should be a team-wide approach. I mean, nobody saw fewer pitches per plate appearance in the league last year than the Astros. And I'm of the school of thought, you know, there's the two schools of thought. I differ from the Astros, at least the 2024 edition, where a lot of baseball people think be aggressive, go up there, swing at the first pitch, don't wait around. I was always somebody that I like the more patient approach, wait for your pitch. You know, I was the kid growing up that everybody would have to yell at, like, swing the bat. I worked the counts.
Get the bat off your shoulder.
Yeah, that's right. No, I was sabermetrics before that was even a term. But so I think it should be a team-wide approach for the Astros. And most notably, guys like Diaz and Peña, who are just not great at working counts, working starting pitchers, drawing walks even. And I think the saving grace might be when you look at some of these guys, Dubon as well, even my, you know, when you look at the guys that are at the bottom of the list for the Astros when it comes to drawing walks, they're the same guys who are still young in terms of playing time. You know, their first 2-3 years in the league of being that type of everyday player somebody relied upon. So I'm going to try to be positive again, kind of like with the Rockets in the first segment, and hope that just simply of that development, that experience, that some of these guys will have a better command of the strike zone at the big league level. But I think it's kind of a team-wide issue that they do need to improve this year of just seeing more pitches, making these pitchers work more.
I'm with you. I immediately thought Altuve, but there's probably going to be a whole lot of effort to change what he's doing at the plate. Yeah. So it's got to be the Peña-Diaz combination. And look, I know the advanced stats will tell you that there's obviously a longer list than those two guys, but those are the two guys that are going to be in the lineup every single day that are going to be up in the lineup. I would think so, every single day. I don't expect to see Diaz in the nine hole again this year like we did mid-year last year. I hope that doesn't happen. But I'll tell you this, Luke, the one thing that gives me, I shouldn't say the one thing that gives me hope, but on this topic, one thing that gives me hope with the two guys, exclude Altuve, let's talk Pena and Diaz immediately. Like, it was noticeable 2 years ago, they were both loose cannons at the plate. Hell, if you just watched Astros games, you knew exactly how to strike Pena's ass out. Off speed, low and away, he's chasing if he's got two strikes. There ain't no doubt. And now he still fell victim to that some last year, but he was significantly better. And I thought Diaz, he lost a little bit of power because of it, but I thought Diaz was significantly better hitting the ball where it was pitched instead of drive everything out of the park. Now, clearly it didn't do the trick to what we're talking about because those are still guys that need to see more pitches at the plate. But the fact that they were able to take what they were doing in an offseason and go, okay, we got to adjust it, and we saw it immediately. Hell, the casual fans saw it immediately in just how they attacked their plate appearance. That gives me hope that whatever Joe Espada wants out of these guys, that those two guys in particular are going to dial in and take that step. At least give you an honest effort to take that step. Those guys being willing to kind of mold their game, mold their swing at this point in their career is crazy, but it's a beautiful thing for what Espada's asking them to do, I'm assuming.
Yeah, so that goes to that point of showing, you know, that development of just at the big league level, because it is different once you get up there. And those two guys specifically that we're zeroing in on and giving a hard time to Pena and Diaz, I mean, they're both still under 450 big league games in their career. So, you know, they're very young at the big league level. So you saw that development. Hopefully this is the next step where you get comfortable in that box. Much like, I mean, obviously Bregman is a veteran, a great player, a lot more reps at the plate. So he has a much better command of the strike zone and can anticipate what to expect a little bit better than some of these other guys where, you know, I'm sure, Clint, even you went through as a professional athlete where eventually the game will slow down for you, and then that's when you have better command as a hitter in that batter's box and you can feel more comfortable instead of going up there and trying to attack the first pitch because maybe you just don't trust yourself in a two-strike count.
Luke, I hope it happens earlier for them than it did me. The game literally slowed down about 2 weeks before I got chopped the last time. So it didn't happen fast enough for me, brother. Hopefully it does for Pena and Diaz. We will, obviously, we're all rooting for it now. All right, we heard from the new offensive coordinator for the Houston Texans yesterday. We heard some good, some bad. I think all in all, it was a positive day. However, there is one major issue that still looms with the Houston Texans offense. I believe that it's all on D'Amico Ryans. That's next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Hughley is out. Luke Morrow is in. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody out there. Hope you're rocking and rolling through this Freaky Friday. And I hope it's freaky for you. If not, just have you a good one. Enjoy it. Buy somebody some of them little heart candies. Even if it's a stranger, man. Just hand somebody some little heart candies and watch them smile. Man, today's the day. It ain't even got to be. It doesn't have to be somebody that you're trying to hunt down either. I'm just saying in general. Could be a stranger. Could be somebody you just want to see put a smile on your face, right?
Just spread some love, man. Be kind. Spread some love.
Be kind on it's probably better to spread love, right? It is Valentine's Day. Be kind on Valentine's Day, man. But look, if you got one out there, it's Freaky Friday, man. Let's go ahead and get down. All right. Look, we mentioned yesterday we heard from the Texans' new offensive coordinator. And like I said, some good, some bad. I think overall it was an all right day. Not a whole hell of a lot of complaining to do for me, right? I do believe, though, I will have one take, Tyler, here that it took me a while to kind of process and get to because there was a lot of audio, a lot of comments, a lot of Nick Caserio talking around his elbow to get to his mouth kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
Talking loud, ain't saying nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. like there was a lot of that. So you had to just kind of, yeah, I hear you, Nick. You got to sift through it. Boy, Nick has perfected that.
Yeah.
They must teach it at John Carroll because these guys are good. Can't wait to hear Cole do it.
Talking around your elbow 101.
There ain't no doubt, man. Around the elbow to the mouth 101. We'll show you how. There is one major issue, though, out there, y'all, that still looms. That when I'm watching Nick Caley and I'm listening to Nick Caley, there ain't no way in hell Nick Caley is getting this done. There's one thing. I don't see Nick Caley sitting down with really anybody and having like a legit man-to-man, you got to be better type of conversation. And that's no knock on Nick. No. I mean, Nick just doesn't seem like that stern of a dude. He's a energy and a vibe guy. Doesn't seem like a, all right, man, we got to have a serious conversation. And I just, you can bring in guys that worked with Dante Scarnecchia, one of the best offensive line coaches ever, maybe the best offensive line coach ever. I like it. But if you don't sit down and have a real strong conversation with Laremy Tunsil, I think there's a cap on this offensive line. If you don't sit down and have a real stern, strong conversation with Dalton Schultz, I think there's a cap on this offense, both in the run game, and unfortunately Dalton Schultz impacts the run game and the pass game, whether he's running routes or he's pass protecting, right? I mean, I think those two guys, you've got a boatload of money wrapped up in those two guys. And you need those two guys. And it's two different deals, right? The conversation with Laremy Tunsil, Luke, needs to be, I need you in camp, working, grinding, setting the standard, holding guys accountable. I need you to be there, not in street clothes, watching practice. And I'm talking mini camp. I'm talking all of it. When the regular season comes around. No, I'm talking about all of it. Right? Involved, not just watching like you're a coach. Like, that's the conversation that has to be had with Laremy Tunsil. The one that has to be had with Dalton Schultz is, hey, man, that stuff we watched last year, that's unacceptable. Like, the lack of physicality in the run game and the pass game, I don't care if you win your block or not, but you got to give me something. The inability to separate in the pass game when you got a linebacker matched up on you, like, that can't happen. Whether that's an in-shape thing or an injury thing or a you're not getting touches the way you expected to get touches. Did you get fat and happy when you got the contract? Whatever it may be, like, my takeaway from the Nick Caley press conference was some good, some bad, but overall, Nick Caley's not getting that done.
I agree with you in terms of the necessity, how important that is. You know, somebody on the Jim Adler Texas Hammer text line said, like a Mike McDaniel. And I think that's the concern where, you know, it's kind of like parenting. I think a lot of parents get in trouble where they try to be friends with the kids instead of being the actual parent to their child. And I think similar with a Mike McDaniel where, you know, you could be a little bit of a front runner. Things are going good when they're good, but, you know, the Dolphins can't win physical games and guys screw up here and there because McDaniel's kind of too buddy-buddy, which goes back to this whole idea of, and by the way, McDaniel also comes from this whole coaching tree of Shanahan and McVay, but this idea of being able to light up your guys when necessary. But I'll say this, with all that said, because I agree with your main point, I will give him the benefit of the doubt in the sense of, maybe he's different behind scenes, right? Who knows? Maybe that's his public persona with the introductory press conference to put on airs for the media and Texans fans, much like how you might act differently around your friends than you would your boss and you would your parents. Maybe in a closed-door meeting, right, he's a little more fiery, can light into his guys. But simply based off of yesterday, I could see that concern, and that's something that certainly needs to happen for that Texans offense.
I think it needs to happen. Again, we're talking about going from 10 wins to 14 wins. We're talking about going from a division title to an AFC championship. We're talking about the next step, and the bar is set high, right? I think when you make the decision to hire a guy that lacks experience, when you are asked about what was it about this guy that told you he was the one, and you lead with passion, energy, and
if that's what
D'Amico thinks his team needs, fine. But for me personally, I just don't think that's going to help you in this specific conversation we're having right now. Right? You can bring all the passion and energy you want, but if you don't have pelts on the wall, odds are, or you don't have the ability to drop the hammer, odds are Laremy and Dalton ain't listening to your ass. Right? So I say all that to say this, right? I don't think, just based off first impressions, Nick Caley doesn't strike me as a guy that has the ability or really the want to be that kind of offensive coordinator. And that's why I say this. The offense improving from 2024-25 to 25-26, improving the way that you need it to. Now, I'm not one that tells you that it's got to win 14 games, it's got to go to the AFC Championship or not. Like, for the offensive product to improve, I believe there's one guy in that building over there that has a chance to make it happen, and I think it's D'Amico Ryans. Because I'll go back to Nick Caley, Bobby Slowick, any of the position coaches. You, the offensive line coach. It is impossible. It is absolutely impossible for anybody under D'Amico Ryans to be a disciplinarian and hold guys accountable if the head coach isn't willing to do it. If the head coach is gonna go through the Laramie Tunsil experience and then laugh and stroke Laramie when asked about the offensive line and what are you gonna do about this week when you got these defenders coming? Oh, I got Laramie and Tunsil, man, no big deal. And allow Laramie Tunsil to do what he does. There's no OC, there's no position coach that's gonna be able to correct that, right? And so I just think D'Amico Rines is the key here. D'Amico Rines, and he clearly will. He obviously had a very tough conversation with Bobby Slowick, one of his buddies. If you can sit down with Bobby Slowick and say, hey, man, your ass is fired, and that's your partner, and he's been your guy for several years, you can damn sure sit down with the guys I'm talking about and force the change that you're looking for. And so I don't doubt that D'Amico Rines can do it. I'm just simply going to sit here and tell you that I don't believe that Nick Caley's the guy who's going to do it. I think it's a major mistake if D'Amico Rines expects him to do it. I think when we talk about this sense of urgency, hey, Bobby Slowick got to go. We can't wait another year for an unproven guy to hopefully get in a groove. We can't wait another year to hopefully improve his relationship with C.J. Stroud. We're operating with a sense of urgency. That sense of urgency has to include D'Amico Ryan, a meeting with the key guys. And I'm sure there's more than just Laramie and Dalton. You can look at Azeez Al-Shaair and the way they handle all that crap over there. There's got to be some... I mean, for the betterment of the team, there's got to be some conversations had there. Some tough conversations, no doubt. But I think it is big-time pressure on D'Amico Rines to get this done, man.
I think that's fair. I think too often when coaches become head coaches for the first time, they just focus on their side of the football.
Yeah.
And then you just let the rest of it try to take care of itself. Your offensive guy will figure out the offense. But you're the head coach. You are still the CEO of the program, and they fall under you. It falls on you eventually. It'll come back to D'Amico Rines. And so I think he needs to, and also along with that, because he has that track record of not only being a player in the league, of being already so far successful head coach, as opposed to Bobby Slowick, where it's kind of like, well, you know, all due respect, what have you done? Even Nick Caley, like, you know, you're calling plays for the first time. You didn't play in the league. You haven't been a head coach before. You don't have a track record of success. And so I think that's another area where it falls more on D'Amico. And to that point, maybe it's a good thing, because we've seen Belichick assistants, and I don't know if we can classify Nick Caley as a true Belichick assistant, but they've gotten themselves in trouble where they try to go somewhere and be the bell of the ball without that track record. Where Patricia tries to be, you know, big man on campus, and it's like, you're not Bill Belichick, what have you done? And that's where these coaches, I think, a lot of times have always failed, because they're trying to replicate that without the success of Belichick. So my point being, when it comes to the Texans' infrastructure, I think the message is better heard from a D'Amico Rines anyways because of his track record, as opposed to the new young buck coming in who doesn't have a track record of success and is trying to drop the hammer.
Yeah, you know, the crazy thing, Luke, is as I watch it, haven't watched a lot of the film, like the it's just a matter of, and I think D'Amico's got this in him. Clearly, again, you fire Bobby Slowick, he's clearly got it in him. But like, from a football perspective, it's not a difficult.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Conversation. Like, they are, now, the player may not like hearing it, but if you're D'Amico Ryans, you've got plenty of film, and you've got plenty of experience to say, okay, we did it your way. And we allowed this, and we watched this, and we didn't pull you. We didn't sit you. We didn't do. Okay, now you got to do it our way, or we got to move on from each other. I mean, it's not your bad players. Not like you got to buy into what we're doing. It's ultimately a really easy conversation, but it has to be had. And now that D'Amico Ryans has made the decision to hire Nick Caley, I think when you make that decision, then D'Amico has to sit there and go, okay, I'm going to go with this guy. I'm hiring this guy, knowing that I'm going to have to handle some of the higher profile players, the higher profile problems, to allow this guy to focus on scheme, fundamentals, energy, passion, you know, vibe, all that kind of stuff. I'm going to have to be the bad cop, so to speak. And so hopefully that's the way it looks. I got confidence that D'Amico is clearly aware of everything that I'm talking about and is going to address it and not expect Nick Caley. Hopefully Nick Caley doesn't have to coach football with the handcuffs that I'm talking about.
I'll even take it another step further, where I think this has a lot of Nick Caserio fingerprints on it for obvious reasons. I think D'Amico Ryans hired his guy the first go around with Bobby Slowick.
Agreed.
Didn't work out. So now it's like, all right, they interviewed Nick Caley the last time when they hired Slowick. I'm sure that was simply because Caserio. And in that relationship, you could kind of say, if you're Caserio, like, look, you made the call last time, didn't work. Let me make the call this time. We'll go with Nick Caley, from those various connections. And so, point being in that is that maybe some of that pressure also falls on Caserio to right the ship with the roster, maybe specifically in that offensive line room, where, okay, if you're going to bring in your guy who, as we've been saying, doesn't really have the ability to go in there and throw down with some of these guys, then it's on more of the GM to shape this roster and give D'Amico Ryans those tools, those pieces of, hey, if you're going to hire your guy, you also got to give me this and that so I can make sure I go out there and we could be the best team and win enough games this year.
That's Luke Morrow. I'm Clint Sterner. Just put a bow on the conversation, man. D'Amico Ryans, after hiring Nick Caley, one thing that I see is that D'Amico's going to have some tough conversations with the offensive players. You can't lay that in the lap of Nick Caley along with fixing all the issues schematically. So we will see how that works out. D'Amico has not shied away from difficult conversations thus far, just fired one of his best friends. So you got to have faith and confidence that he's gonna get it done. All right, which Astro is going to feel the shoes of Alex Bregman, right? Bregman is gone. He's with the Boston Red Sox. He's not going to be an Astro. Which Astro is going to feel the shoes of Alex Bregman on the field, at the plate, and most importantly, chemistry and clubhouse, baby. That's next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.